Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Oh man.
Boy.
This is going to be intimate, bro.
Isn't it?
I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
I feel like we always go high into the right. It's just the two of us.
It is just the two of us. It is a late eve. We're in a bedroom.
Yeah, we are, but like we're not like on a bed.
No, we're not. We're not on a bed yet. It is Matt Best and Ross Patterson doing a little one-on-one. We've done some one-on-ones in the past with everybody. People love them.
I believe the last time you and I did a one-on-one was North Carolina at the studio, and that was fun.
We went to North Carolina. It was a great show. It was a great show. This is going to be a great show.
Oh, let's hope, you know.
I think so. Because
I'm just going to talk to Ross.
We're going to talk to Ross Patterson all night, which is always a gift in itself.
It is, man.
To the world.
Smart and talented.
But with this, we're actually going to dive into relationships tonight.
Yeah, I think we'll get into some personal stuff and talk about stuff. So hopefully,
because here's the thing: people at home love you, and they're always saying the same thing of like, man, I wish I knew more shit about Matt's personal life, and
I'm gonna go for it.
Exactly, man, you're guarded to a certain degree, because look, there's a lot of people after you, a lot of people want things from you. You've been burned a couple times in the past. And hopefully we can talk about that tonight.
Absolutely.
Anybody who else who's out there listening, who's going through something like that, hopefully once we talk to Matt, it's somebody you can relate to.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole reason I was like, dude, let's do this whole thing and talk about personal endeavors and my relationship stuff, because, you know, I'm just in a process of learning as I go through life, and hopefully the things that I've been through can help someone else. And if that's the case, awesome. And almost like talking about your own issues and problems, not problems necessarily, but experiences in life, it helps you grow as a person. So I mean, I'm fucking down.
Yeah, who else to better
down.
Do that with one
I'm
of your
like
best
down
friends?
Like system with a down, you know. Well, you know, I mean, Ross and I and Ross, he's writing a book that we're doing together, and like, so him and I've got the nitty gritty. We like to drink beers and whiskey together.
Yes.
In Denver, Colorado. So whatever else happens in this glorious
state,
you know?
Yeah, this is our last evening year.
It is.
And we thought we'd share it together.
Fuck,
I'm not gonna say what we're drinking.
I do have bullet bourbon in there, which is because we don't have, Colorado doesn't have lead singers yet, and there's a can of something else. I don't know what that is.
There's a can of something else from a place called Pure. I'll leave people their imagination and Google up to figure out whatever that is.
Right.
But other than that, let's dive in. We got some sponsors,
man.
Some
make it possible.
Sponsors. First up, and off the top of the bat, we
already
got
Haven
Lock.
It's Haven Lock.
Yeah, we know who it is. We're doing a show on relationships. You could put a Haven Lock on your heart. You know,
you could, but then you're not vulnerable and you won't live your life. So
yeah, but
put it on your door so you can save that one you love.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. But like Haven Lock, if you did put it on your heart, if it gets kicked in three times, not gonna matter. Not gonna matter.
Right.
Haven Lock takes
right.
50 kicks.
And no one kicks your heart 50
door.
Times.
No.
You can find that, you know?
No. Look, Haven Lock is the greatest fucking lock of the 21st century. They actually raised $100,000 on Kickstarter. They became, world renowned. Everybody find out who they are. They're combat owned. And, you know, if you want to keep your family safe, your pets, everything you got safe, go to their website, havenlock.com, put a Haven mech on your door. That fucking thing's impossible to get through. I got one on my door. It's amazing.
I actually asked them to ship one out because I'm like ultra conservative because, you know, I like to have a few drinks before bed, but I have like, I map out everything in my house where I'm like, okay, I can shoot through this drywall. And if I put it, I even sometimes mark a Sharpie, a tiny little dot.
Yeah.
So I know if I shoot through this part
really?
Of my house. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I'm weird with shit, man.
I like that, well, though. I like that.
A little higher profile. And, you know, ISIS hates fucking veterans. So I'm like, come at me, bro. They're going to have a tough one on that one because I'll map out. I can shoot through this and I'll hit my fucking front door. Obviously, I'm not just going to fucking shoot when someone knocks
sure.
my door, but when I get my door kicked in nine different times and I see a guy with an AK, well, guess what? I'm gonna hard point in my bedroom and you're gonna get shot from the other room.
You almost drew on the guy with the tad, the Thai food today. He knocked aggressively.
He knocked aggressively. Yeah.
On we're staying at an Airbnb in Denver at a house. They have no idea what the fuck went on in this house. But the guy with the Thai food today aggressively knocked on the door.
He hit it hard.
Matt drew and was like, yo, motherfucker. And he was like, Thai food.
Well, I didn't let him know I had my pistol. I hit it behind the door.
Yeah,
but
you were
yeah.
good about it. You were good. We all saw it. But it was nice. But
which brings us to Tartarus Ordnance.
I know.
We didn't even mean that segue.
But with Tartarus Ordnance, here's the thing. If you go to havenlock.com, you get a lock. Drinking Bros. You type in the promo code Drinking Bros on havenlock.com. You get it for fucking $99. Let's say they get through that $99 lock. You better be stocked up to the fucking hilt with TartarusOrdnance.com. TartarusOrdnance.com for all your home defense ammunition needs. If how you want to pew on the range.
How you spelled that quick was impressive.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk about the last episode. Yeah, they do some wholesale stuff too, which is awesome because you can square yourself away for everybody at the range and get your quick draws on, because I do a lot of stuff where it's like, you know, accuracy drills, which you want the higher end ammo, which they sell, and then yep. You do other drills, which is just like I'm throwing around at 3 meters. If it hits the silhouette, I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
I'm trying not to die. I'm trying to shoot the asshole that's trying to rob me.
Yeah, and look, I heard they've switched to a subscription. You can get a subscription for it.
Yeah.
They've got a promo code, Drinking Bros. They sell firearms, and they also sell to tactical classes. So if you're running a class somewhere, you need 10,000, 20,000 rounds. If you type in that promo code, Drinking Bros, you're still getting 10% off of everything, which is amazing.
Or if you're like me and you buy 10,000 rounds as an individual.
I mean, I mean, you need to. Look, somebody comes through your door, you're using all 10,000, right?
I would hope not, or I'm a really fucking bad shot. But
or you just want to make sure that job is finished.
Oh, shit, yeah. You know, I'm the guy that plans for the zombie horde, you know? I'm range 16, 17, 18 is what I'm planning for with my ammo supply.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah. Welcome to the Terror Zone, playboy. Next up, I can't even go into how much of a fan I am of Strike Force Energy.
I wanted to even before you got into it.
God, it's weird, isn't it?
It's good shit.
It's great shit. That,
I like the show because we have the sponsors that we love.
We actually love, yeah.
It's hard. It would be hard to be like, this shit sucks and let's promote it. But I legit love Strike Force.
I know.
Tim Morris at Freedom Festival, a while back, a week or so now.
Yeah.
He was drinking Lead Slingers and Strike Force. And he was like, this is fucking awesome.
He was just so amped.
Yeah. I tasted it and I was like, that. Surprisingly, it's really fucking good.
Strike Force goes with everything. So we look at home, it's no bullshit. We have a subscription. It comes to our house every month. You can get a subscription off their site. I'm addicted to it. It's a pre-workout for me. I don't know about you. It's a pre-workout. I also write to it. Like, it's just better than I fucking hate cans. Yeah. Kick the can. I just hate buying cans of fucking energy drinks.
Energy drinks are not my thing. I just don't like them. The carbonation, I hate carbonation. Like, I do not drink sodas.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like basic caffeine. I do powdered caffeine in the morning for my workout. And then once I eat at the office, do my writing, I usually take Strike Force before my MMA workout.
So, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is nice. It's like a good pick-me-up after my meals.
Yeah, and you, I've seen you. You post a lot of your videos of your workouts. What's your Instagram for the people at home?
My personal one is just Matt_best_official.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw you posted some vids of you sparring a little bit. Who are you sparring with out there?
I have fun, man. I have fun guys out there. Josh Tyler, who's helps out Black Rifle Coffee. Jeremy Horn, who's a legend in the UFC.
Yeah.
And some other guys from the UFC. And, you know, I'm in no means like a professional. I'm not even close to a professional fighter. Not even
but you're getting real good, by the way.
I like to spar. I always laugh at the fucking dudes on Instagram. It's like, where's your lateral movement? I'm like, we're doing boxing drills. We're doing in the pocket. So it's like, hey, if anybody wants to put a comment on Instagram, come spar with me and we'll see if you can beat
exactly.
my ass.
Have fun. You can wreck about 99.9% of the people out there.
Maybe general people, but yeah, I'm not a pushover.
You're always going to have your fucking keyboard warrior
who
types in
it.
And was like, man, fuck you, pussy.
I'm comfortable in my own skin, you know? I do it just because I like to be able to fight, and I love, you know, guys like Josh Tyler, that guy's like 155 pounds he fights at. Like, we spar, things are fun, he lets me do my thing, but when he turns it on, like, he clowns me. So you're like, and I'm a 220-pound fucking, like,
man,
you're right? And I'm like, son of a bitch,
of granite. Like, when we hug, it's like a mountain hugging another mountain.
I appreciate that.
It is.
But my ass can still get beat by 155 pound man, which I don't like, so I'm trying to get better.
Weird, right?
Right.
Weird. Weird. Yeah. So anyways, StrikeForceEnergy.com, 20% off if you type in the promo code Drinking Bros. They've also got a 750 milliliter bottle that just squirts right into your drink.
So cool.
Fucking amazing. And they ship anywhere in the entire world, which is fucking awesome. So if you're deployed somewhere.
It's like love. There's no restrictions.
There's no boundaries.
You know?
Love has no boundaries.
What an appropriate statement for this episode.
I know.
What's love got to do
with it? What's love with a motherfucking cigar? That leads us into Warfighter tobacco.
We don't even read shit, and we're reading ourselves like goddamn, what do they call the palm readers?
I know. I love it. I feel like Cleo, RIP. I mean, she's died, but I feel like psychic Cleo. Cleo the psychic.
The only cigar I've smoked in the last shit, like a year and a half, is Warfighter.
It's Warfighter, yeah.
Because I fucking hate smoking. Like, I do not like smoking in general, the act of it. And I'm not talking shit, but like cigar smoking, I can kind of get a part of it. And I'm not talking shit, but their shit's good. And like, and those guys are dope. And I think about smoking cigars, it's like that camaraderie and the brotherhood where it's like, man, I'm going to smoke a cigar and chill with the boys.
Because it's a good hang. You know, you're looking, you smoke a cigar, it's about a 45 minute burn on that. And with Warfighter tobacco, those guys are just cool as fuck. They're down. And look, if you're going to have a cigar, you're getting a fucking Warfighter tobacco cigar. They got a special Drinking Bros cigar.
They do.
On their sites. If you type in the promo code Drinking Bros, you get 10% off every cigar in the store. They're 100% combat veteran owned.
Badass.
And look.
They showed up in their nice the SUV with the Warfighter tobacco I pulled into for Freedom Fest.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. They have the car modded out. I'm like, that... Fuck yeah, I was excited.
Scott Jansen and the boy, they're fucking dope, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I like them a lot. And it's one of those things where, you know, back to your earlier point about smoking cigars, like, I think there's so many shitty cigars out there that you smoke those initially as you start off and you grow up. But then as you get older, you're like, ah, man, those tasted like shit. Maybe I don't like smoking cigars.
Right.
Then you have a Warfighter tobacco cigar and you're like, oh, fuck, these are great. Oh, all right. I get the camaraderie and I get what smoking cigars is really all about.
Exactly.
Yeah. So good look. Go to warfightertobacco.com. They're the finest cigars. They're hand-rolled in the Dominican Republic with Cubano seeds. They're amazing. We love those guys. Last but not least, we get a night she cries while he rides his steed. The first ever romance novel for dude. The funniest book ever written.
I get it. I listened to it on audio. So.
Yeah, and look, tonight's episode is about relationships, and I'll be real. If you're thinking about having a serious relationship, reading that book is not it. It's about a guy who fucks everybody on the planet, even travels to China for 6 years to fuck prostitutes in the 1800s. So, yeah.
All the way up.
So get a Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed. It's at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It's in every store across the USA, even Walmart.com. Now, and the Audible, I do it myself with a team of actors. God bless Simon & Schuster for letting me do that.
It was fucking rad.
Proud of you guys, yeah.
It was
one of the greatest books ever. Tonight is a special show, kids. We got Matt Best. It's a one-on-one, and we're actually talking about relationships.
Yeah, I'll throw out a shout-out to Lead Slinger's Whiskey, which I'm not drinking right now because we don't have it in Colorado, because we may or may not have drank those bottles over the last week.
We did. We drank a whole pallet.
But it's a company that I own with a few other business partners, and it's probably the best bourbon ever. But yes, I'm excited, man. I'm down to be a little vulnerable, man, and have a one-on-one and just get down, dude, you know?
Yeah.
Just live some life, bro.
Let's live some life. So where is Matt Best at relationship-wise right now?
Wow. Just straight out the gate.
We're diving in.
Yeah, right now. So I'm essentially single. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm moved on from the public relationship that most people know that I was in.
Yes.
I'll put that on.
Because you had a very public relationship on Instagram. Yes.
Facebook and all that stuff.
And all that stuff. And it's hard because you're in the public eye. So if there's a split, you know, a lot of people are going to comment on it immediately because it's you.
Yeah, I think that's like what I've learned in before my current relationship, the one before, and their characters have no comparison. The person that I'm getting out of a relationship with now has character, and she's a good person. It's just it didn't work, you know. But the reality of it is, it's like being in a public relationship. It's very, very, very challenging because everybody wants to be associated in that breakup. They want to pick sides. They want to heighten aggression. They want to do all these things. Whereas, like, I'm kind of the guy where I sit back and I'm like, I'm gonna do me. Like, I want a high five on the way out. Like, it didn't work, kind of thing. You know,
right?
But you have the white knights and other people that come in, and they're always going to attack your character just because someone says, you know, you broke up with me, and it's like, well, it just didn't work. Can we leave it at that? So,
yeah.
And I'm not pointing finger. I'm just talking about like relationships across the board.
Absolutely,
you know?
And it's you know, for you in particular, it's more difficult because everything is so public about your life, and
you know, people will come to defend you. You find out who your real friends are and that type of shit. Like, oh, a lot of gossip behind the scenes.
Right.
Shit that you just, you're like, God damn it. Can we just move on from this? Like,
yeah.
It was a simple breakup. Because you, to your credit, you've never said a bad word about this girl. You know, it was a great relationship while it lasted. And, but you moved on. And
yeah. I mean, I think when you spend 2.5 years and, you know, 2 years living with that person, undeniably, you cannot leave that environment without like some emotions. You can't just walk away from that, right? Yep. So like on both sides, and it'd be an unrealistic approach to be like, let's cut ties, you can't have furthered emotions and believe that things, people lie to themselves and think that they can carry on the situation. But yeah, I think I guess what, when we're talking about relationships and this whole thing that brought up the podcast, why we should talk about this tonight, is like, I don't understand why people get so violent with stuff, man. Like, I'm just such like a chill fucking dude. Like, I obviously have my violent side of me, but I'm like, I just like, we should just like laugh and come as much as we can in life.
Yeah.
I just want to laugh and come. That's all I want to do. And the second you're not making me come, or the second you're not making me laugh, like, let's
gotta go.
We got to go. Gotta and it's go. Probably not even probably better for you too, because I'm probably not making you laugh and come. So yeah. Like, let's move on.
The relationship's poisonous and are toxic.
Exactly. But with that, like, and I don't know if people have dealt with this in their life, but like entitlements and all these other things. And I've done such a self-evaluation throughout, man, the last like five years have been like three big relationships, and two of them have been very public. And it, how long
were those relationships? All three of those? Cause they were fairly substantial.
Yeah. So the first one was a girl that I was absolutely obsessed with. I actually got broken up with, and
really?
Yeah, no, it wasn't like...
but people would be shocked about that. Like, Matt Beskett got broken up with? Like,
I mean, I'm just Matt, so
I know.
Yeah, it wasn't a breakup. It was like her trying to pursue her own thing. She kind of like was super liberal going towards that side of the house, and that's fine. Like personality-wise, we didn't necessarily connect, but what her like character is what I was enjoyable. She's very independent, things like that, that I associated myself. Like, that's... Those are traits of someone that I could actually have a long-term relationship with. So when like
sure.
She was like, I'm kind of out of this, I had a hard time with it. But like 2 weeks after we'd broken up, you know, I was running on the beach listening to music, and I was like, yo, I can create my future. Cheers. You don't want me. I don't want you. And I forgot about it from there. I mean, a rough 2 weeks, but I was over it.
Right.
You know, my next one, I'm pretty sure anybody that knows my past on YouTube or anything, it was super public and super violent on her end, where it was like, how can I slander Matt's character?
That got crazy.
Oh, dude, it was insane, dude. I mean, months and months of blackmail. God damn. We shouldn't.
Do you feel like going into what that blackmail was?
Yeah, we. I mean,
because within reason. And the reason why I say this is obviously we're best friends. But like two sure. audience members, they go through the same shit. So when they have breakups with people, it's like, oh, I've got this on you, or I've got that on you.
Right.
Don't do this or don't do that. Right. Like.
It's that whole character trait in people where when they can't be a part of the scenario that they kind of, you know, fucked up, they attack, and it's a weird aggression that I don't understand. Like conversely, like when I got broken up, I was like, man, that sucks. Like I thought I wanted to be with this person. Like today we would have never worked, but like,
right.
I wouldn't ever attack her and her character and text her mother and be like, fuck you, fuck her, she's a fucking whore. Like that I'm just not, I don't understand that whole
that
ideology. Right. Yeah. And a lot of people aren't, but when that happened publicly with the person that I was with when I first started my YouTube channel, yeah, man, I got a, oh God, like blackmailed Wazoo, my family, her family.
You're kidding.
Veterans in the space. It was nuclear to the point where I had six meetings with lawyers about how does this impact my business.
And, really?
Yeah, and you get kind of insecure in certain things where when people attack you, you kind of want to you want to push back because you're I'm not
up,
that fucking
exactly,
person.
Exactly.
And you start to learn like, okay, what if I was that person? Do you care about that? And then it almost takes the power away from them. And that's the approach I started learning with that whole thing, where I was like, okay, you want to make these accusations about who I am? And I was like, okay, sure, I am that person, but all right. And then well, fuck you. And you're like, oh, well, then you have nothing to ground yourself off of.
Yeah.
You want to degrade my character to benefit your own vanity. And it's kind of like, it's such a narcissistic approach to life. And like, you know, you can't find happiness in someone else. You have to individually be happy, and then supplement your happiness with your relationship and your friends. You know,
no, it's 100% true. And like, I guess part of the reason I'm curious on this new perspective, this newfound perspective. You just turned 30 a couple weeks ago. Do you think with age and time, you're able to look back on these relationships and be like, oh man, it was stupid because I was young. Maybe so-and-so did this because they were younger. Would they do this today? What's your whole perspective on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've fucked up a lot of things in relationships, and I want to definitely put out there, like, the relationship that I'm getting out of right now, like, there is not an issue, at least in my mind, with character. I have no issues that, like, not a bad person at all. I'm not a bad person, but, like, there's absolutely personality conflicts that are there.
Right.
And you know, I made my horrible decisions in that relationship, and vice versa, and there's certain things that you grow. So, like, how I define myself as a 30-year-old, like, I finally, through that relationship, was like, man, these are like kind of foundation, the things that I need. Everything else is kind of like, I don't even know. It's just kind of like, whatever, you know, like there's things like you want respect, you want yada, 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 whatever you need in a relationship, you have to define those roles, because when you're younger, you're like, I got to have the hottest bitch.
Yeah.
I got to have this. Like,
man, she's got to be fucking smoking. My friends got to think I'm awesome. Exactly. They got to look amazing. Like, yeah.
Well, and you end up, and I've done it my whole entire life, you try to fix like internal issues in the relationship with materialistic approaches. So it's like, I love yous and tattoos don't fix a trust issue, right?
Right.
It's a temporary fix where it's like, man, I went through this action to say that I love you, but it's a temporary action. It's not addressing the absolute problem. And there's sometimes like you can't fix that problem, and it's super hard to walk away where like, I wish that problem didn't exist, but if it does, we've attempted to fix it, then you got to walk away. And I think some people are always like, man, well, you're married or whatever it is, and you're like, well, if why the fuck am I going to be unhappy every day, and why the fuck am I going to make someone else unhappy?
Exactly.
Here, do this, do that, let's walk away, high five and fucking hug on the way out, and I hope you meet someone that makes you laugh and come.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep going back to the laugh and come.
Exactly. But I will say this, like, I don't think men in general, myself included, you can't really settle down and find a proper relationship until after 30. I think we as men, and this is gonna be a hard comment to say, but I think it's true, I don't think we develop as fast as women do emotionally. So in our 30s is where you kind of find your groove and settle into it, and then figure out what you really want out of life and out of a partner. And whereas shit in your 20s, you know, teens is obviously different. Teens and 20s is completely different, where you're like, again, like you said, man, I've got to have the hottest girl.
Right.
I've got to fucking impress everybody. I got to do this shit. And then you're like, all right, cool. Maybe the hottest girl is fucking boring as shit.
Right.
You know,
well, there's associations with personalities, right? So I think that like people like us are super hyper alpha male, right?
Yes.
Which is why we've matured way later in life, because it's like at 24, I'm like, I'll fucking fight anybody. Like, fuck yeah, I'll cheat on my girlfriend.
That's still in there.
It's still in there, but you learn to kind of like
harness it
and use that power in something new in business and to actually be a present partner in a relationship you want to be in. Where, I mean, I absolutely believe that there's people that like married at 23 that can be together, like, but statistically speaking, I your late 20s,
I know,
early
30s,
I know one couple
that married out of high school that stayed together and is really, really happy. That's it. So
dude, that's what I say. Like, when I look at like just a couple years, I'm 30, right? I just turned 30,
right?
9 years from when I was 21.
Yeah,
when I was 21, I was fucking everything that walked. I was a ranger shooting people in the face, and then getting out at 24, I was running around LA like a fucking asshole. Like, so like, even when you're like, I'm 24, I'm mature. Like, and I'm not talking shit about an age group, but
sure,
I did not mature until like, and I'm not even saying I have everything figured out now. I honestly don't, but I'm starting to learn like what's most important in my life. And you have the ability to like make sacrifices. Like, you know what? I'm not going to go out to the bar, get wasted and have a hot girl hit on me. I'm going to stay home and like be like, you learn what's most important because you've been through these scenarios in your life and you've dealt with the consequences and the repercussions where you're like, I don't want that. You don't act on impulse. You act on like rationale and like what matters to you, like friendship, love, and relationships.
Absolutely. And like, you know, there is a thing inside where you don't want to be the 40-year-old at the fucking club, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yo, what's up, Tommy I'm Boo, still dog.
Cool.
Tommy Boo.
I'm still cool, dude. Yeah. I'm still cool.
My flat back like, black rifle hat, just like, what up, 44? I'm out. Dude, Google me nine years ago. Yeah.
We all have those friends who are doing that, and you're like, shit, man. Exactly. What has your life turned out to be, and how are you happy every day?
That's a rough path. But again, like I'm a fucking gun-toting hippie. I always say it. It's like you should do whatever you want makes you happy in life. But like, if you fall in these chambers of like action where you believe that that's what you want to do because you act out of impulse, sometimes you have to reel your own self back because people are like, "Why the fuck aren't you making me happy?" And you gotta be like, "Yo, bring it back."
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want that. I kind of want to do this, and I've had to do that myself multiple times in life, and that's kind of the position I'm in. Like, which is super hard to get out of a relationship where you like. Care about someone, you value that person, but you're like, why are we arguing? Why are we, where is this conflict coming from? And then you have to pull yourself back and be like, oh fuck, like I guess we just kind of don't get along, and we could try to prove to each other every single day that we get along, but you're like, we don't. And I don't want to say you suck because you don't. You're awesome. You're going to make a fucking person insanely happy one day. But
sure.
I hope to
it's
make
just
someone.
Not me. It's just I'm not the person.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah. And I hope someone makes. So it is what it is, you know. And it's a hard thing. It's a mature way to walk away. But I hope that's the course. So
yeah. And so let me ask you this: at 30, heading into your 30s, is there things you value more now in a relationship versus when you were 20? Like
Jesus, yeah.
Right. Because like
priorities
in your
20s, have changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh man. Got to be a fucking dime, dude. It's got to be a supermodel.
Yeah.
It's not Giselle. I'm not fucking doing this. Yeah. You know, when you're like, and that's 20.
Dude, I think that the association with that is it's like when you walk into a fucking place, right? And this is funny. And like, I'll use the analogy. I walk into this house right now with a girlfriend, right? Let's just say, and I'm 21 years old.
Right.
When she leaves, I'd be like, hey, you guys think she's hot, right? Do you see her fucking ass? Fucking hot, right? 30-year-old Matt's like, hey, do you guys like her? And then 30-year-old friends would go, dude, you smile and she makes you happy. That's awesome. So like that's a maturity level, right?
Because it is.
You know, obviously you
but
want
it's also
somebody-
it's also a conversation thing too, where you can look, you can have the hottest girl in the world. The old saying is, show me the hottest girl in the world.
Shoot, guy tired of fucking her.
Tired of fucking her. And it's true. Because there's only, what? Look, you could fuck maybe 2 hours out of the
but
day
I'm gonna,
every
I'm make
day
my,
if you wanted
but
to.
But I'm going
to
make my own saying up. Show me a moderate girl in life, and I'll show you a guy that's not tired of fucking her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because there's personality. There's like things that you like. It's so past the sexual aspect. And like, I'm a hyper, hypersexual person. Like, I will not.
I saw you saw you fuck a door one time.
Yeah, right? I put my dick in between a mattress and a box spring. I don't know why.
No lube either. No lube.
Shit, I was never circumcised till I fucked a bed. Yeah, it's about
No, but it's different when you get into your 30s. I will say this. You start leaning on more in personality too, where you're like, hey. All right, great. I can maybe fuck 1-2 hours out of the day, tops.
Right.
The rest of the day, you've got to actually hang out and have a conversation with these people. And if they're not your best friend, it's a fucking long road in a relationship.
Well, absolutely. And you look at things like, you know, you want to be supported, right, in your own endeavors. And like, at least in me in a relationship, I absolutely do. But then I also want to like support someone in their own endeavors where it's like, I want to like, as I consider myself an alpha and a very supportive guy. So it's like when, if I have a chick that I'm dating, she comes home like, hey, this is what's going on. I want to make this move in my life. Can you like help facilitate, not even facilitate it, but like, will you be supportive? I'm like, fuck yeah. Cause I get enjoyment out of that. I'm like, man, I can support you. Like do you. Cause I know that I'm doing me and I'm being a jackass with it. So it's kind of a, that's what you, for me is what I need in a relationship where it's like you, there's a common ground of respect. Obviously there's a common ground of sexuality and there's a common ground of like, we are going to live our own lives, but at the end of the day, we're going to chill in the same bed and support each other and be better than the sum of our parts. What is that saying?
We're
greater than the sum of our parts. Exactly. I read it on Instagram.
You can grab a copy of Eat, Pray, Love and figure that out. But it is funny though, where you enter your 30s and you start to look at the girl and you're like, do we like the same shit on Netflix? Cause that's a big deal.
Right?
You're like, holy shit! Like, if she doesn't like Stranger Things,
Kim K is my favorite. I'm
here.
Like, fuck, I'm gonna have to go play video games while you watch your show.
Yeah, Yeah, and there's nothing worse than that. Like, they're watching The Real Housewives, whatever the fuck it is, and you're like, shit, I want to go watch the game in the other room. Like, it's got to be a...
But, see, that's the cool thing. Like, you can find common ground where if you can watch the game on a laptop, she watches Kim K on the fucking TV and puts a hand on your leg, maybe rubs the tip. I'm in on that relationship.
You're fine on that. Yeah. You're fine on that.
You know, plus maybe throw some whiskey in there and some anal sex and we'll call it a day.
Absolutely. Plus, you get a glimpse of Kim K and you're like,
yeah, that's a nice booty. You should you should squat some more, baby.
I'm good to go. Yeah. Yeah. Go to that Zumba class tomorrow. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hit that 6 a.m. class. It's totally
fine. She's like, you should do some curls tomorrow. I'm like, oh, fuck. I've been slacking.
Yeah.
Shit.
Slacking at the gymnasium. Slacking at the gymnasium.
You know.
So let me ask you this. Because your online persona is crazy. Women love you. I've been out with you. Jesus Christ. Women throw themselves at you all day long. Does Matt Best want to get married and have a family one day? Look at that. You can't see it, folks, but his cheeks just turned red.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely 100% want a long-term relationship. And it's funny because I feel like even saying that statement, people are going to hate on that, but I don't give a fuck. My online persona is drastically different than actually how I am, and I want it, and we'll probably hopefully have a ability to pursue that. As far as a family, I don't know. I don't know if I want kids. I've actually been pretty anti.
But you're great. Here's the thing: you're great with kids.
I love kids.
I see you with Jerry's kids all the time. They love you. You're great with kids. To me, it makes perfect sense that you would be a great father. And if there was anybody out there who should be a father, it would be you. Versus the other dipshits who are running around with six kids at fucking Walmart that I
right.
ran to.
Yeah. And that's my main concern because, like, as a rational adult, I want to be, I know I would be an awesome father, but, like, I just know that if I have a kid now, it ruins a lot of personal dreams because I'd sacrifice for that child. So, like, in four
absolutely.
Or 5 years, I'm down. Like, and that's a problem dating women in my age group.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We're both 30. Let's throw a baby in there. And I'm like, my mom had me when she was 36.
Right.
So I'm like, let's push it to the right a little bit, and then I'll
I think that's
I'll,
the
we'll
appropriate
see.
Age.
Yeah.
I think that's the appropriate age.
Right.
Because then you have everything out of your system. Hopefully, financially, you've set yourself up
right.
in a nice way. Then you can enjoy it, and you're not having to stress about shit.
Right.
But right now, like, look, you're involved in, like, 9 businesses. You know, it takes a lot out of you. People demand a lot out of Matt everywhere we go.
Like Ross, you know, right now.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I've got a child at home. Love the kid more than life itself.
By the way, one of the cutest kids ever.
Bless you.
I mean,
it's true. He hit the gene jackpot.
Seriously,
yeah.
Gorgeous kid.
He hit the gene jackpot. But I felt, and because I think we're very similar in real life, I felt it at a place in my life where I was, I would say, all right, great, everything's okay financially. We can have a child. I'm not going to miss out on life. I'm not going to miss out on you know everyday stuff. And this is a good time for it. And I think you'll hit that time eventually.
We'll see.
Yeah. I think
we'll
you will.
We'll see. We'll
I
see.
I think you will. You're great with kids.
I appreciate it. But I like Uncle Matt's a dope thing because I can go spoil the kids, bring them treats, and then when they shit themselves,
leave.
I'm like, here's your kid back.
And then leave.
Pat you on the head. I'll talk to you when you're not crying.
Yeah. So what are you looking for in a girl these days? What is your most important quality?
Oh, shit. That's a
hard
one.
Personality?
Yeah.
You'd probably say looks in your 20s, right?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously want to be sexually attracted to somebody, but I think like my approach to physicalities is drastically different in my 30s than it was in my early 20s. You know, like
right.
big tit, like as much as you can push out. Like, I love tits. So
yeah.
I shouldn't even said that. I bought a lot of tits. It's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, you bought 6 set of tits?
Not sets.
So
just
12 tits?
No, six tits.
All right. Six
I
tits
just want
total.
To make it sound better.
No, but look. 6 tits is a lot of tits.
Maybe 1 ass. I don't know. Who knows? No, I don't know. Like going forward in a relationship. Personality, man. I like chill. I think life takes you in so many directions, especially now with the businesses and like the public stuff we have to do. I like to check out. I'm like a gregarious introvert where I'm like, oh, I love to be this and this and this. But then I want to check out and someone to like Matt for Matt, not, hey, can you tag me on Instagram?
Yeah.
And I'm not associating that with any of my relationships, but I just don't want that going forward. And
exactly, because it's too much.
Well, it's a resemblance of the character. It's like you're in it for the vanity instead of like, hey, let's make an adult relationship and support
exactly.
each other.
Because let's face it, an Instagram relationship is not going to work. Like
no,
yeah, no. It's got to be somebody who's at home who can take care of you, make sure everything's, you know.
Yeah, and you can take care of them, but it's not vanity based.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing.
Exactly.
Check out my tits, dog.
Yeah, I'll be check out that fake ass, dog.
Hey. That's too. Yeah.
No, it's not.
We're not being mean.
We're not being mean at all. Because there's a lot of
that is, dude. There's a lot.
Right now. Everybody's yeah. getting the fake asses.
That is the thing. There's the yeah. There's the ones.
Iggy Azalea is the one who I was.
Iggy fake?
Oh yeah. So 3 days ago they posted something with her and her fake ass in a bikini sitting on a thing and was like, whoa, she looks different because she's white. And
but she's always had a giant ass.
I know. And I think over the years, because it's, you know, injections, I think over the years, she's just increased it.
Oh, injections. But that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of, when you do, like, research on Instagram, like, a lot of those girls that go to, like, hanging out in Saudi Arabia, like, yeah, they played for, like,
I know.
Lot of plastic. Yeah. If your girlfriend is taking a trip to Saudi Arabia, guys, she's probably, if she has an Instagram follow you, she's cheating on you.
Exactly.
Yeah, those motherfuckers are dirty over there.
Financed by a prince.
Yeah.
Some form of prince over there.
Yeah, prince. Like, come drink fucking $2 tea out of my $100,000 gold cup.
It's weird.
It's a weird culture.
That's a weird world, by the way.
No, I know. They shit on the floor and then drive fucking $700,000 cars.
It's crazy.
It's a weird
vibe. It's absolutely crazy.
I mean, do you, but I'm not going to do that environment. Ain't about that life.
I'll go this far. My first movie that I wrote and produced out of my own company, a movie called 710 Split. Big fan of the scripts. Four and a half years worth of meetings. I documented it. Took 142 meetings. An investor finally said, if you can get one of these 10 actresses, we'll finance this movie. I happen to know one of those 10 actresses. We got the movie financed. But it was an Arabian prince who put in a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he would show up on set in a rented Ferrari, take pictures with the actresses, literally for 20 minutes during lunch, and then leave. That was it.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Well, it's
to this day, I don't even know their, like, that guy's fucking name. What is their story over there?
Well, the Saudi Arabia culture, I think, like, they're westernized but still very conservative Islam. So, but they all want to. It's like almost like how India is, like, pop culture America. Everybody wants to hate in pop culture America, but, like, look, Bin Laden is not going to turn down a fucking selfie with Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
He's just not going to
do it. No, he's not going to do that.
They'd be like, oh, let's blow up the fucking the buildings, but check out home. It's Jennifer Lawrence. You see the Hunger Games? I love that fucking movie.
I love the Hunger Games.
So, I mean, that's the hypocrisy of the world, you know, and when the more and more you start to see that, you're just like, God dang, man. You guys suck.
Crazy, right?
Dude, it's insane.
It's absolutely
That's why
crazy.
I'm a gun-toting hippie, man. I drink whiskey and chill.
I know. I was watching a house documentary the other night on house music. On Showtime. It's about Swedish House Mafia. And they played in fucking India. And
yep.
Which I didn't think that was allowed.
Bollywood!
Yeah, I didn't think that was allowed. And not only was it allowed, these kids were going bug fuck. And it was like 100,000 of them. You know, raves and house music and all that shit is associated with ecstasy, obviously.
Right.
Molly.
Who's Molly?
Pure MDMA.
Booch, booch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like the kid's reaction afterward was so crazy. I was like, fuck, I didn't know that went on there.
Yeah, it's a crazy, like, even Bollywood's growing. And like, as you as a film producer, you know that they purchase like overseas.
I sold a movie to them.
Yeah.
So $50,000 in a call girl, by the way.
Yeah, they're redoing it.
Yes. They're remaking it as a Bollywood remake. That's how I met my wife. You can pick that movie up on Amazon and all that shit now. But they finished shooting. They're in post-production. It comes out next year. They're flying us out to the Indian premiere of it.
Oh, you get to go to the premiere?
I do, yeah.
I am fucking jealous.
And then I helped with the script as well. And the crazy thing is the dance numbers.
So they're doing dancing to this?
Eight.
Oh,
there
my
was
God,
eight
yes.
In the script, the last script that I saw, there was eight dancing numbers. For those of you out there who haven't seen the film, it's about a guy dying of cancer.
I will
How
say
people
this.
Are gonna, they're going to record
dancing. Can I take
that?
This away from you real quick? 50K yeah. and a Call Girl is something that Ross directed and acted in it. Ross, if you watch any of his film, he's like the over-top, hilarious motherfucker. But 50K and a Call Girl is a serious film. It's almost like a mockumentary, but it's shot as a documentary. It's fucking
it's shot as a documentary,
it's
but
fucking beautiful.
Thank you very
when
much.
When I watched that film, I literally cried twice in it, not to make it fucking sound stupid, but like legit. I was like, how the fuck did you, the way you shot that, I was like, all right. So I don't know how they're going to make a dance number out of it. It's like.
And that's the thing. We wanted to shoot it real. I hired one of the guys from, intervention on A&E to help out with it so it seemed more real. All the pills, everything you saw in the movie, and everything we did was real. So we wanted to make it seem like a real movie. It turned out great. Critically, it was fantastic. But the fact that somebody watched that in India
and was like, I'm going to recreate this.
Yeah.
That's so dope, though.
So it was crazy. But it's a guy dying of cancer, and I don't know how they're going to put eight dancers numbers
like when you get terminal cancer to dance around. Like,
What are they going to dance around him?
Like, that's what I'm saying. What the fuck?
Where do you go from
where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there? But you know, to tie it back to relationships, the movie's about a relationship. And so when I asked the Bollywood producers, I was like, why did you like it? And
which
they were
is
like,
a fun fact. You met your wife on the set of that movie.
On the set of this movie.
It's fucking glorious.
On the set of this movie. And the it turns out the producers in India who bought the movie knew that story. They also said a lot of kids in India are you know, heading to that world of, you know, more realistic shit and whatever. And it's more relationships are more out in the open. I guess they're not there.
Right. Yeah. Instead of being like, you get married by like, yeah.
Yeah. So they said absolutely it would be plausible for a guy to fall in love with a prostitute and have this
and boom
journey together.
I want to watch the movie again, just based off a guy that falls in love with a prostitute.
But this will lead me to my next question.
Yeah.
Could you marry a prostitute?
No. No. I mean, I may or may not have slept with some in my day, but no, fuck no.
But we all have those friends who date strippers now or porn stars, and you're like, hey bro, what the fuck? Like,
but it's hard because it's like, you know, if you look at the life that I've lived, I lived a pretty crazy younger life. So a chick that was a stripper, can you really fault a dude for dating her? It's like your active practices are most important in my life. Like we're
right.
Okay, this is what you're doing and time me out, but like your historical data and your life experience obviously contributes to what you're going to do in the future, but...
But you always have those friends, though, who...
It's like,
who,
I'm dating this hooker, man! I'm like,
I know.
I can't. She gets plowed out. Oh, that's just sex, though. I'm like, oh, man, I am so jealous. I could never.
What is Jared Taylor? Is it bored out?
Bored out. Oh, bored out in the back fucking car of a Prius.
Yeah, and it's look, we've all got, as a guy, we've all got that one buddy who has dated a stripper, married a stripper, some form of prostitute, and they think they can change them. Of like, right. Oh, I don't know, they're different now. And it always ends up terribly.
Unless it's like she was a stripper when she was like 23 to 27 and you're marrying her at 35, there might be some character change. And like,
you think?
Potentially. But if it's like, she quit stripping to marry me, bro, no, run. Run! There's a fucking fire. There's a fire. Run.
I will say this. If you're going to judge a stripper on whether to marry it or not, judge it by the handshake. If it's a real firm handshake, she's been grabbing that pole way too long. Grabbing that pole way too hard.
That's funny.
Way too long. And
but then again, like, I don't want to be judgmental because there are people out there that could fucking date a stripper and love it. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm saying as me.
As a man.
Yeah, as Mike.
And same. As Ross, I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't marry a stripper or prostitute. No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, prostitute's way worse in my opinion.
I know, but we met somebody who...
Oh shit! Yeah,
we met a guy who said, "Hey, I'm married. My wife used to be a prostitute." And I was like, "Wait, what?"
Because I feel like if you're a prostitute, that's a solid 500 guys at least.
Easy, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got herpes. Condoms don't stop herpes all the time. Yeah,
maybe quadruple. I mean, because look, if you're working once a night, there's 365 days in a year.
That's a lot of days.
You can run up on quadruple digits real quick.
I don't think, do you work once a night? I'd imagine like twice a night, right?
I don't know how that works.
Well, I guess, are you like a Craigslist hooker or are you like a high-class escort in Vegas where you like
but even
someone
then,
for a week?
Money's money, so money's they're probably money, going where the money's going. So if it's two, three times a day,
that's what I had to deal with.
The water's getting murky
and brown and bloody, you know.
Oh god.
Well, the older I got, when I started thinking about sexual partners, because everybody judges like how many people you have slept with, when you start to be like, oh, 5-6 is a lot, then you start to add years together where you're like, I'm 30, so if you started having sex, let's say 16, is that the average?
Yeah,
14 people, that's one a year. That is nobody. Yeah, so like when a girl my age is like, I've slept with 14 people, and like I used to be like, yeah, that's a lot. I start to think, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
fuck.
That's one a year.
Yeah. If you fucked three a year, you're looking at 30s. Who wants to put that number out? Like, yeah. And it ain't even that bad. That's one relationship every bi-quarterly. Like, that ain't bad.
Sure.
Not even
sure.
Bi-quarterly. That's like bi-yearly.
Sure. Yeah. Annually, I believe
I meant that bi-yearly.
Bi-annually.
There's probably a girl in there for them, too.
Oh, there's always one girl in there.
Always one.
Well, yeah, there's always one. There's always one girl in there. Yeah, it gets tough. I accidentally dated a stripper once.
Did you really?
I did. This was a fun story.
I would love to hear this.
Met her in Vegas.
Shocking.
Yeah. Real shocking.
I was thinking Phoenix, Arizona.
Exactly. Yeah. Fresno. That was Fresno, California.
Palm Springs. It was a sun getaway.
Exactly. By the way, if you date anybody from a resort town, never ends up well. Is everybody who's vacationed into that city comes down and have sex with them, and it's
yep.
Yeah, you're on 90 by the time they get to you.
Yep.
They're still thinking about Jim from that vacation back in 86. yeah. But no, but I accidentally dated a stripper once, and that's real. I met her in Vegas, met her at a club, like a high-end club, where I was like, all right, cool. And I was like, what do you do for a living? She was like, oh, you know, I'm a serious dancer. Like, I was a dance major in college and whatever. And I was like, oh.
Stripper.
I thought it was a legit thing. Thought it was a legitimate thing. Very smart, very cool. And I was like, awesome. I was like, where do you live? She's like, oh, I live in Los Angeles. So I was like, okay. But she doesn't live in Vegas. So she's like, not a Vegas stripper. You
right.
Because that's a fairly obvious thing. And so we ended up dating a couple months, 3 months or whatever. And she was like, when are you guys coming out, you know, to Vegas again? And I was like, we're going there for New Year's, you know? Going there for New Year's.
Oh, no.
3 years later. It was
Did
like,
you get a special?
I mean, three months later. Yeah. 3 months later. So me and my friends go back out there for New Year's Eve from college, and they were like, oh, hey, is your, you know, the girl you're dating going to meet up with us? I was like, yeah, you know? I was like, she's working tonight. She's like, she's in a show. And I figured it was like a burlesque show.
Right.
Like she was,
she's
you know,
a dancer. She's out there tap dancing to the fucking Irish songs.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought she was a Planet Hollywood, like in a show, maybe, you know, a backup dancer for Penn and Teller. Or Chris Angel, I don't know. You know, the amazing Jonathan. So I'm totally naive because she doesn't seem like the stripper type at all. And anyways, we get there to Vegas, we check into our hotel, and I was like, "Hey, babe, you want to meet us for dinner?" You know, no, I gotta work. She was like, well, "Why don't you bring your friends over after work?" Like, you know.
Did she tell you the establishment? Was it like the catwalk? And you're like, "Oh, what the fuck?"
So anyway. I asked her, I was like, great, where at? You know, she was like, I'll leave your name at the door or whatever. And it was a brand new place. It was called like Ice or, you know, Ice Palace or something like that.
Did you know walking up to this establishment, you're like, oh, fuck.
Well, so here's the thing. I get all of my friends. Here's what's embarrassing about it. Okay. I get all my friends. We rent.
Come meet my awesome girlfriend.
Yeah. Come meet my awesome. Oh, she's rad. We get in a limo. We're going there or whatever. And it turns out it was a brand new strip club that had just opened. Nobody knew it. Even the limo driver's like, man, I don't know where this place is. You want to give me the address?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. We show up, and it's a 2-4 place, beautiful outside, brand new. And I was just like, oh, shit.
Are we going to watch some tigers jump through some fire hoops?
And that's exactly what I thought. I was like, man, this is going to be a big show because it's a 2-floor place. I never see places that big.
Right.
It was massive, and it certainly didn't look like a strip club from the outside. And I was like, fucking awesome. It was a red carpet outside, you know. I was like, great, shit.
We're VIP. Yeah. Am I in the VIP
exactly.
list?
Exactly. Maybe we're late for the play, you know, or whatever the fucking thing is going to be. Walk inside, and they're like, hey, there's a cover. And I was like, no, my girlfriend works here. She put us on the list. You know, we're good to go. And he's like, oh.
It's like, I'm the boyfriend.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, yeah, we have a list. And he's like, yeah, you and plus seven of your friends. And he was like, yeah, go on in.
Oh.
I was like, oh, fantastic. Do we have seat numbers? Do you have tickets for us? You know, how does this work? And he was like, no, you can pretty much just sit as close as you want to the stage. And I was like,
oh shit.
Fuck. All right, cool. Like it's a new progressive play. I'd seen a few of those at NYU. And I was like, awesome. You open up the front door, you know, well, I take you to the candy shop. And you're
welcome
like,
to the candy shop.
Oh, fuck. So anyways,
give it up for Lexus in the back of the corner.
Bro.
Ross's girlfriend.
That's exactly what it turned into. So they take us to the I don't want to say a bouncer or the fucking door, whatever it is. The waitress takes us to a private table We sit down. Obviously, we're in a fucking strip club at this point. I'm just like, oh, fuck, what's going to happen now? And then she comes out. Yeah.
Hi, Ross.
Buck naked, oh, but no. Dancing. And she was like, hey, I got to keep dancing. My boss is over here or whatever.
But like super like, normal was like, hey, I got to keep dancing. Hey, guys, nice to meet you. Yeah, but yeah. I'm going to be, oh,
and
fuck.
And she
That's
had
even
known
worse.
A couple of my friends from like public settings. So like, she was like, oh, hey, what's up, so-and-so. I was just like, oh, my God. So like, then my other buddies were like, hey, I feel like, should we feel bad? Because we're watching, you know, this girl you're dating is a fucking stripper, now nude. Like, what do we do? And I was just like, I'd kill the baby, you know.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve. It was that was a rough one.
That's a hard, yeah, because she was like still cool about it. It wasn't even
really
like,
cool.
Hi, I'm Kylie. It was just like, hey, babe, I got to go dance a little more, but after let's go get coffee and hang out. You're
totally
like,
totally normal
I really
girl.
Want to like you.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's hard for
totally
me to get over.
Totally normal girl.
Yeah.
That's
a hard one, dude.
That was a weird one. Weird one for me. And like, never had any of the stripper hangups of like, oh, I've got kids to support, or I'm making my way through med school. I'm going to be a nurse.
Or making my way downtown.
Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. None of those hangups. So that's why it was strange.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Especially get thrown in that setting. Like, I was not expecting this. And that's what happens when you're younger. You know, you learn.
Exactly.
You live and learn.
And
you live and learn.
I want to say 24, 25 at that time. So like, you know,
you were still young.
Now, yeah, because now, dude, whenever the first word out of a girl's mouth is, I'm a dancer, the first words, you know, I'm a dancer, you're like, okay, you're a stripper.
Yeah, you're
no
a stripper.
No grown-up woman is a dancer.
Right.
Like, unless you're on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm a dancer. Like, oh, shit, what strip club? No, Cirque du Soleil. You're like, no. Why would you start with dancer then? You should say, I work at fucking Cirque du Soleil.
Exactly. You don't say,
Is that like
a dancing?
I don't know. I just threw a Vegas term out. I don't
know. But I will say this. In L.A., there's so many music videos that it's like a lot of girls will say they're dancers, but they're essentially extras in a music video.
Well, there's some dope dancers out there. The new, like that Biebs video that came out. Is it too late now to say sorry?
They were
crushing that. Those are dancers. Yeah.
No, look, there's some great
Maybe
dancers
the T-Pain
out there.
Dancers.
But
no, I don't
all
think so.
They strip eventually.
But they all, the money's not coming in. I'm taking my clothes off.
Yeah, because to be a dancer in a music video pays about $125 a day.
A day.
Yeah.
So for 2 days of stripping. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm they're throwing quarters up in this motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding. I tell you what, you better dance for me, baby, before I throw a damn filet mignon at that stupid fucking face.
Yeah, do you want to fill it at your goddamn face? I mean,
it's good. This is a good episode. I like it.
It was a great episode.
Yeah, we're making it there, you know?
Yeah, we're making
it. It's bonding time. It was bonding time.
It was bonding time.
I whispered
making
it.
My way down. Why are you whispering?
Making my way down.
Because it's we're two grown-ups
sitting
together
in a bedroom
talking about relationships, talking about love,
yeah,
talking
we're
about
venting,
life.
You know, getting it out there.
Yeah. By the way, quick fun fact: we are going to have the girl on the show who Jared lost her virginity to.
Oh my God! Really?
She called in, said she would do an interview on the show.
Holy shit!
So in the next few weeks, that will be set up and get ready for
that's
that.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's gonna.
Do you talk to the girl? By the way, do you talk to the girl you lost your virginity to?
Yeah. A while after her and I, we had a horrible, horrible breakup. Like in high school, God, I'm always saying everybody goes crazy. But then she got her shit together, and like a year later, we met up and like back to the person that I really like. So we became friends for like the next 5 or 6 years.
It's great.
We talked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alexis Breen is her name, and
wow.
I haven't talked to her in years, but yeah, she's a good girl, man. I hope she's well. She's married to some Brazilian guy, I think, so hopefully they're still together and living a good life.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, you know, jiu-jitsu and butt stuff.
I know.
Is that the Brazilians are?
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu and butt stuff,
that
right?
Is Brazil, though.
Yeah.
It's jiu-jitsu, butt stuff, and then carnival.
And some like meat. They have like they do the sliced meats.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Not good out there.
Boy.
That's not a euphemism for cock. You're just talking about sliced meat.
But it should be.
Should be. You know?
God, what's that meat place in Vegas where they just bring it out on a stick
it's
to
like
you?
Not the Mongolian barbecue.
Sabas or...
Yeah.
We're the worst with names of shit, by the way.
We're horrible. They just bring out that giant platter of meat and they slice it out.
Yeah.
Just like, want more red meat?
I got the meat sweats there one night so bad.
So good.
I didn't sleep the whole night. And I was at the Bellagio. I was staying
tucked in a nice little bed.
Yeah, and this isn't like a a money thing at all. But if you stayed at the Bellagio, they've got special beds there. You can actually order them after you stay there. Yes, they're incredible. And if you can't sleep in a Bellagio bed, you can't sleep in shit.
You can't sleep anywhere.
And no. And so, dude, the meat sweats.
I didn't sleep on the Bellagio bed.
No, you know what? This is a weird story. We're going off on a tangent about it, but I ate way too much of this place, like Sabas or Sambas, I think it was called. It was all meat, all Brazilian and everything. So I ended up watching all of Breaking Bad, like an entire season of Breaking Bad on A&E and on a marathon. So it was running through the night, and I was like, I'd never seen it. And it was like season three, and I was like, oh, fuck. This is the greatest goddamn show ever. Long and short of it is, if I don't get meat sweats, I've never seen,
you've never watched Breaking Bad?
No.
You know?
Never.
You know?
I would never understand the magic of Breaking Bad.
If I get meat sweats, I'll probably finish season two of Narcos because I have not watched it yet. You know?
Did you watch season one?
Yeah. I knew that was going to throw you for a loop. Yeah, season one was awesome. I watched the first episode of Narcos.
You're just going to watch season two and not season
one? No, season one was dope. I just haven't seen the season two yet. So.
Okay. I haven't either, by the way.
But yeah, we're getting there. So I guess we got the Drinking Bro of the Week.
We do. We do have the Drinking Bro of the Week.
I just say I never get to do it.
You don't.
I never.
Go ahead.
I'm not even gonna choose someone out. I'm gonna put this, since this was a relationship ish or
relationship episode.
Is it issue episode? I didn't even know what
both.
I was saying there.
But no, hey, episode. Look, all the issues were talked about in the episode.
It's a good one. There you go. Way to articulate it, Ross. No, if you guys are going through anything, just I hope you know that find happiness in whatever that is. I think you got to figure your own shit out individually and personally, and then once that's there, then you can have someone supplement it. So just live a good life, man. We got a lot of shit in the plate. Getting sued by two people right now, going through a relationship breakup. I'm still a happy motherfucker. So if I'm happy, all the way up, you know. Just live your life and have a good one, man. I swear that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and my drinking broette of the week is look, the special girl who was a stripper I dated back in the day, I talked about on the episode tonight. I want you to know this. You're a great person.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do.
I hope you're not stripping now.
With you.
It's the first. All right, bro. I'm gonna close it out because this is awesome.
No, but it had nothing to do with the person. She was just a stripper.
So for Ross Patterson, the big dick daddy, I am Matt Best. Thank you for listening to us, friend. I had a great time, Ross. This is fucking awesome.
We are out of here. Thanks, everybody. We love you.
Cheers. Good night, drinking bros. Love you.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.